All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. December 4th, 2025. A beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. They are treating the roads. Some treatment. The roads are sick. We definitely got some weather coming. I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those years that we just always get the rain, but they did treat the roads this morning, so there could be a chance of something, but hopefully not. I'm not a big fan of snow. I've probably shared that many times in this podcast. It is quite an inconvenience. Everything goes to hell. Schedule, the roads, everything. So I just prefer to not have snow, but it is what it is, and we'll hope for the best. I know my wife, she loves snow. Snow. So we'll see what's going on. I thought I would come upstairs, see if I could do a podcast. I just got home from the gym. I have been sticking with my routine. I'm very excited. It's so funny. I feel so much better when I go to the gym. And I'm not like, you know, gym bag, lifting weights. I drive down there. I look at my phone for 30 minutes while I do the elliptical trainer. And then I come home. Sometimes I will lift some weights if my boys are around or if I just feel like it, but I definitely have not felt like lifting any weights. I just feel like going down and doing a little cardio. When we were away up in Connecticut, I did not do any cardio. I don't even think I did it the day we left, and so I just feel so much better, and it's really my stomach. My stomach, if I do not exercise or have some sort of activity, I just feel like a marshmallow man. Marshmallow man. That's terrible. But so I've been sticking with it. I feel great. I've been trying to watch what I eat. You know, I'm really being pretty good, honestly. I don't really know what my problem is. We've been making Berea tacos. I don't know if I've shared that on here. They have those bear balls. I think you can buy them on Instagram or you can buy them on Amazon. I buy them on Amazon all the time, but they're these, I don't know, they look like bath bombs, but they're spices, and I buy a chuck roast, put the ball with some beef broth in the thing, and let it cook all day, and it makes this amazing taco meat with this consomme, and my freaking kids love it. I think it's healthy. I mean, it's just spices and meat, and corn tortillas, which are nice, you know, corn, but I'm sure Sony will find some problem with this food, but it's, you know, I make it. Seems all pretty clean ingredients, and my kids freaking love it. And so I made it. Usually, you know, my son Sam came back this week, and usually I try to make it for the week because he, you know, he's doing basketball, and we'll have dinner. But like 9 o'clock, he's like, "Can I get some tacos?" So I usually make him a few tacos. My daughter, she's like, "I don't want to try it." Actually, I shouldn't say that. My daughter loves everything that I make, and she is willing to try all of it. My wife, on the other hand, will not. She is like a grown child, and she will not eat these things. But my daughter, you know, she's willing to try everything, and it's always been important for me to, or it's always been important to me to see her try food, right? If you don't like it, that's fine, but give it a shot, right? Give it a try. And one of the things about this taco meat is it makes like a consomme that, you know, it sort of cooks in a sauce. And, you know, I take all the meat out and I pick out all the fat and, you know, whatever, the connective tissues. And, you know, and I put the consomme in another little container. And when I give the kids the tacos, I make them a little cup of this consomme and heat it up. And then they dip the tacos in it, and it's freaking awesome. And my daughter's like, "I ain't trying that. It looks disgusting." I'm like, "You got to try it." Well, last night she had 2.5 tacos and consomme and, she was loving it, and so that is awesome. For some reason, as a father, that brings me a lot of joy. that's how complicated my life is. Last night, real quick, my boy celebrated, not my boy, but my one of the guys I sponsor, my boy, celebrated a year. I sponsor three guys, and they've all had their anniversaries this year. The one guy sponsors had his 2-year, and then my two other guys each celebrated a year. One last month, one this month, and it's just a really, really cool. I don't take credit for their recovery, but I do take credit for keeping them or trying to get them involved. I do take credit for trying to make this experience a little bit better. I've shared many times I've done this program without a sponsor, and I've done this program with a sponsor, and with a sponsor, somebody that understands the program, it just has been such a wonderful experience. And so that's what I've tried to do with these guys. Nothing special. We have no special words of wisdom. Just, you know, I think I shared last night, I said, you know, call me every day. You know, obviously don't drink. And, you know, get a sobriety date. Go to a lot of meetings and take on some commitments. And honestly, I think if all those things happen, more than likely, you're probably going to stay sober for a year. And both of them have. And the cool thing about last night is, and this was the same thing with my other buddy that celebrated last month, is that, you know, their parents were there. You know, when I met my one guy, M1, I think we'll call him, you know, I met him at a meeting. His mom was with him. And it was that meeting of just there's nowhere else to go but this place. And, you know, they both looked hopeless. And I remember telling him, hey, you know, I'll be your temporary sponsor. Call me every day and we'll get through this. And he said, all right. And he has. And we meet on Sundays, and these guys have just been great. And then when I met M2, he told him the same thing. His mother was not with him, or his parents were not with him, but his parents were with him last night. And, you know, as a parent of children, my kids don't even drink. And the thought and the worry of them drinking and having the life that I've had because of the drinking just wears me out.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government?
Mother, Pink Floyd. What a beautiful song. That freaking, I don't know if that's a B12 organ or whatever, but that freaking note, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. It's a family disease, right? It's a family disease. And, you know, of course, when M1 celebrated last week, I had never met his parents. I had met his mother. I shouldn't say that. I met his mother. And, I went up and said hi to them at the meeting, and I had never met his father. And his father stood up and he shook my hand and he looked me right in the eye and he said, thank you. And I was like, listen, you're welcome. But and I've told these guys the same thing. These guys have probably helped me more than I have probably helped them. Of course, for me as a person helping them, it doesn't take much, right? All we got to do is go to a meeting, you know, don't drink. It's pretty, you know, eye-opening the first day, the first week, right? The first month, the first coins, the first chips. It is a whirlwind. And, you know, and I told both these guys, when I told them that we would, you know, go on this journey together, I said, you either want to be sober or you don't. And if you don't, our relationship will not last that long and I will not be chasing you. But if you really want to be sober, we're going to have an amazing time. And we have. We have an amazing time. We meet every Sunday with these guys and, you know, we're living the steps, right? I've had people tell that my M2, one especially, you need to get that four step done. Get the four step done. And, yeah, chill out. I in discussions, right, in conversations with the fellows, we have decided we are going to live the steps. You know, so much living goes on in the first three steps, especially number three, right? Admit we're powerless over alcohol, their lives have become unmanageable, seems pretty clear. Came to believe that a power greater than us could restore to sanity. That's slightly foggy. But turned our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding really is where the magic happens. And, you know, I've shared yesterday about, you know, how the taking the cherry off that Sunday is our biggest problem. A lot of issues are solved when we put down the drink. You know, my one guy was living a whole fantasy. He'd lost a job and he was leaving his house and telling his parents he was on to work. And it was always funny. It was funny last night. It's always funny when he shares that story because he was literally going to the movies and watching movies all day and then coming home and acting like he had been at work. And he shared the story last night. And he's like, I was generous. I made my work hours from 10 to 4, right? It was a day, but I didn't want to be there too early. And everyone laughed, and his parents laughed as well. But, you know, there's a lot of things get solved when we put down the drink. And it feels really good. It feels really good to everybody, right? Those things are solved pretty quickly. But when we start to get into the third step and we start making better choices, right, and we start to look at them, and we've hung out on the third step for a long time, right? We meet on Sundays. I say, all right, how many have we had any third step opportunities, right, including me. I still have third step opportunities. I have opportunities to make the wrong choice. You know, I have opportunities to, you know, be less humble, right? Say things, honk at people, wave my hands, you know, do whatever it is, have my attitude, whatever it is, typically, like I always say, it's out of inconvenience. These behaviors are drummed up. And it brings out fear and worry. And, you know, when I came into the program, you know, no one really talked to me about fear. If they did, I don't remember it. But the amount of fear that comes into my life through my behavior is ridiculous. And it was ridiculous. I mean, it was always something, always afraid. But I've done it so long, I've become used to it. Couldn't tell the difference. So when we start to get when we get into a program and we start making better choices that start to reflect in our life, it starts to feel good. You know, they talked about the pink cloud and this euphoria of like, wow. And yeah, we go through it. Our family goes through it, right? And so last night, you know, and I shared last night, I go, as a father, you know, I worry. I make up things, right? I create, I project, and then I suffer with it. And then I remind myself that my kids don't drink, right? That's a character defect. I don't know what it's called. I think it probably was in that list I mentioned the other day, but, you know, making something catastrophic, reacting, and then reminding myself it doesn't exist. But I do that with my children and their future, and I shouldn't, but for some reason I still do it. But I know as a parent, you know, and I felt last night with them two's parents being there, you know, I know that tonight they won't worry about their son. It's one of the biggest you know, obviously we the conversation about these drug boats, right, and them getting blown up and stuff, and you know, hundreds of thousands of people die every year because of drugs and alcohol. I don't even actually I could look it up. I know it's a lot. You never know who's the numbers are coming from, but a lot of people, you know, die. But a lot more don't die, and they just suffer. And around each one of those people is at least two, right? At least one, two parents, if not just one parent, that sits on the sideline and worries about us. And with each person, let's say it's three. Let's say it's a mother, a father, and a sibling all worrying about that family member. There's probably four people around each one of those worrying about that person because they're worrying about their son or daughter. This disease spreads wide. And, you know, it kills, it destroys families. And it's awful. And so to see my buddy last night and his parents, you know, and this is M2, the M1 and M2 are freaking good guys, you know, good guys that just went down a path and didn't, you know, next thing you know, you're like out in the woods and you're like, how the fuck did I get here? Right. And my story was the same. You know, I never the day that I got sober, that person I never expected to be. But one day at a time, right, we get better one day at a time. We get sick one day at a time. And one day at a time, one incident at a time, one moment, one day, one adventure at a time, slowly led me to that place where I ended up at the hospital and said, yes, I think I have a drinking problem. You know, I didn't go first drink. You know, I love the people that have the stories about, you know, oh, my first drink, and I drank like that for the rest of my life. That, I didn't. I did not. I drank. I balanced between drugs and alcohol and, you know, socializing and all this other stuff. And drugs and alcohol were sort of this kind of lubricant that sort of kept it all moving forward. You know, if I wasn't drinking, I was drugging. And if I wasn't drugging, I was drinking. And they played a big role hand in hand. And I remember, you know, having a lot of fun at it. But I also never had the shakes, right? I never drank in the morning. I never had a bottle under my front seat of my car. You know, who knows? Maybe I could have gone longer, but I didn't want to. Actually, I didn't even know that. I probably, you know, had it not been for Stitches, I may have said no. I may never have gotten here. But it is, I said it, and it got me there, and it introduced me to this program, which I'm not sure I loved. But I think probably living early on in a euphoria, right, of peace, love, free of fear for a small time. And then, you know, the light, you know, my real character defect starts showing back up. I'm just short one, the drinking and the drugging. But like I told my buddy M2, and I told M1 too, this is where the work starts. I know it's kind of funny to hear that, and people say it all the time, but, you know, after the first year, this is where the work starts. You know, the pats on the back start to fade away, you know, the cheers for our success start to fade away, and we're just sort of left alone. And not literally, because, you know, these guys will you know, we're always going to, I mean, I'm assuming we will keep working at this. But, you know, one of the things that was cool when I saw M2 last night, and I was telling him, you know, we were talking, he was, you know, of course, saying, thank you for all you've done. And I'm like, dude, thank you, right? This is we help one another. That's what we do. That's what it takes. One alcoholic helping another. I said, but you have to remember, because, you know, and he was a little nervous. And I said, you know, you can be nervous, but you have to remind yourself, you're sitting up front celebrating this anniversary to let every other person in this room know that if they get in the middle of the herd, right, is what I like to say, get in the middle, shake some hands, take some commitments, show up early, leave late, get a home group. It starts to, you know, get better, and you, them, us can all get a year. And sure enough, man, so many guys spoke last night telling M2 how much they appreciate him and how he is someone that they look up to. And I remember early on coming into this program, like, you know, who the fuck could look up to me? You know, I had people last night, good job, Tom, good job, great job. And I'm like, yeah, it has been a good job, but it's been a good job on all our parts because it takes all of us. But I think the key point to all of this is that we live the steps. We are not in a rat race. You know, my one friend shared last night that take as much time as you need. I hope you have a very long and slow recovery. You know, so many people, I don't know if there's this fear that if we don't jump through the fourth and fifth step immediately within the first, I don't know, that we won't make it. I don't think that's true. But I also don't have any fucking clue, man. You know, everybody's journey is different. But for me and these guys, it's always been about, let's just live these steps. Let's start identifying, seeing what we're doing. And then it's up to us if we want to continue to do it. And that includes me. You know, I've been kicked out of a boat club while sponsoring these guys. You know, I've had many situations come up in the last year. Nothing too bad, but, you know, for the guy sponsoring these boys, you'd think that I would have it all together, and that's just not the case. But we live them, and we talk about it, and, you know, and we admit our defects, right? And we figure out how to make them better. And then, you know, we try not to do it again. But it took me a long time, right? I was thinking about this last night. You know, it's probably, you know, my first 4 years in recovery was just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I mean, literally a whirlwind. And then to drink, right? You know, coming back with a little bit of, you know, experience, right? I've been there. I've been doing it for 4 years. And to start to see these character defects, you know, start to, you know, first 4 years, I was just not drinking. I was doing the same character defects, doing the same stupid things. And so coming back after all that, starting to understand, wow, this is actually a little deeper than I thought, right? And eventually, you know, picking up a drink and still, no, I didn't pick up a drink. I was continuing to use pain medication for my back. And then finally realizing that is not going to work, changing my sobriety date. And then going on a real, like a journey, man, for like 10 years, really just struggling between character defects, making amends, you know, picking and choosing which ones I didn't want to do anymore, hanging on to a few, right? And then finally, you know, I don't know, I would say in the last 7-6 years of really just trying to stop doing them, right? I know what I'm doing. You know, I didn't really understand how doing them created fear. I didn't really understand that when I'm in fear, I'm in self. And I didn't really understand that when I'm in self, that I'm not having a relationship with God. And all I have to do is stop doing those things that create fear. And I can stay in a humble place with my higher power. It's just on a daily basis, do I choose to? And that's the difficult part. But, you know, it was just, you know, I'm just really proud of these guys. I'm proud of everybody that's in recovery. Like I said last night, it's just amazing that this room is full of people that all are trying to stay sober. You know, in different levels. I shared the other day a bottle fell out of some guy's pocket. Last night something fell on the floor. I was like, was that a bottle? But it was a great meeting. Great to see his parents. And, you know, of course, them telling me how grateful they are for me. And I had to explain to him, man, your son has been such a huge help for my recovery. So thank him. And you know, honestly, whether it's M1 or M2, they've both stayed sober. And honestly, M1's had some challenges, right? He's had some relationship challenges. He's had the book thrown at him, man. And he has hung in there. And I saw him last night, and he's loosening up, right? He's speaking with a little more bass in his voice. And he's coming out of the fog. And I remember telling them both of these guys, I said, oh, it doesn't matter. All you need to know is be kind, be great, have grace, have humility, and don't drink. And we should get through this. And they've both done that. And, you know, I think we are. So very cool. I'm going to, let's see. I got to work today. I have a big gap in my book, which is a drag. But whatever. Still financially freaking out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being victim of this stuff. I don't know, but it's still an uneasy feeling. So one day at a time, just keep going, keep getting through it, doing our best here. Let me see. Let's do the daily reflections, and then I'm going to go try to make a living. All right, here we go. December 4th, into action. AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither and those who haven't been given the truth may die. I'm going to read that again. AA is more than a set of principles. It is a society of alcoholics in action. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither and those who haven't been given the truth may die. You know, that's right. And that's what I said to to M2 last night. I said, you might be nervous, but remind yourself, you're sitting up front to let the other people that have come behind you, and actually, you know, whoever it is, know that if you work hard at this program, you can start to get better. And, you know, I always have to remember that. I mean, that's to be there for the next alcoholic, to have my hand out for whenever the next alcoholic walks in like I did. All right, so that was As Bill Sees It, page 13. I desperately wanted to live, but if I was to succeed, I had to become active in our God-given program. Yep. I joined what became my group where I opened the hall, made coffee, and cleaned up. I had been sober about 3 months when an old-timer told me I was doing 12-step work. What a satisfying realization that was. I felt I was really accomplishing something. God had given me a second chance. AA had shown me the way. And these gifts were not only free, they were also priceless. Now the joy of seeing newcomers grow reminds me of where I have come from, where I am now, and the limitless possibilities that lie ahead. I need to attend meetings because they recharge my batteries so that I have light when it's needed. I'm still a beginner in service work, but already I am receiving more than I'm giving. I can't keep it unless I give it away. I am responsible when any other reaches out for help. I want to be there sober. Yeah, what a great reading. What an appropriate reading on this day, you know, because that's what it is about. And, you know, all of our, especially coming into a program new, you know, I felt like I was just awesome, right? Look at freaking me. And like I told M2's dad last night, you know, it's a lot of work to be normal. And he laughed and he agreed. Hey, congratulations to both those guys. I appreciate you letting me share. If you're, you know, if you're struggling, you know, get in the middle of the herd, right? Put your hand out, introduce yourself, get involved, get surrounded by fellows in the program, take a commitment, whatever it is, if it's a greeter, coffee maker, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, you only get what you put in, all right? Hey, have a great day. Bye-bye. Mama's gonna make all of your nightmares come true. Mama's gonna put all of her fears into you. Mama's gonna keep you right here under her wing. She won't let you fly, but she might let you sing. Mama's gonna keep baby cozy and warm. Ooh, baby. Baby, of course mama's gonna help build the world. Think she's good enough.
you think she's dangerous? To me. Check out all your girlfriends for you. Mama won't let anyone dirty get through. Mama's gonna wait up until you get in. Mama will always find out where you've been. Mama's gonna keep baby healthy and clean.
Mother didn't need to be so high.